Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas, it's supposed to be a time with a lot of joy and singing carols. Christmas, it's a time to have warmth surrounded with our family and loved ones. Christmas, how does the song go? It's the wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest time of the year. Yeah, all right. We want that for all of you here at Peace Lutheran Church. We want it to be warm, joyful, filled with wonderful moments with your family. What a great Sunday last Sunday was here at Peace to lead us into this season, really, with the children singing songs. And we felt that warmth. You could just feel it here in the sanctuary. It was hot, by the way. But you could feel the warmth, a deeper warmth, because we are connected with one another and singing songs. It was great. As a pastor, I must tell you that for a lot of people, Christmas is not joyful. It's not warm. It's not so celebratory. In fact, it's sad for many people. In fact, To share this with you, or to point this out to you, there's been a development in the last 20 years that has come upon many different churches that is unique. It's something called a blue Christmas. Have you heard about it? A lot of churches celebrated it. A little day within the Advent season. Blue Christmas. It's celebrated in more and more churches on December 21st. That's the winter solstice. It's also called the longest sleep night. You get a lot of extra sleep. But there are more and more churches celebrating Blue Christmas, and in the services, they allow for people to share the grief, the pain, the suffering that they're going through a very difficult time, and the expressions of hope for things to change in the future for their lives. And just in pastoral ministry, as many people who are joyful and warm and excited about Christmas, there are just as many people who are longing for those days in the past, memories with loved ones, and who are experiencing a lot of physical pain. Blue Christmas. Well, this morning it's actually good for us to have the reading that we have and to be introduced and reintroduced to someone who plays a very small part in the Bible but who is going to speak loudly into this moment for us. Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament. Malachi lived during a time period in which there was, if there's anyone who could say that they deserved to have a blue Christmas, it's Malachi, this prophet. And I say that because he lived at a time period in which there were a bunch of cynics. Do you live around a bunch of cynics? When there are a bunch of cynics around you, all of a sudden some dangerous things happen to you, whether you're Christian or not Christian. Your zeal for life goes away. Your devotion becomes shallow. Prayer life becomes shallow. And your generosity dries up. Malachi lived around cynics. Now, it wasn't something that just happened overnight. As I look through the Old Testament and kind of see this development, I think things slowly moved to a point around the 4th or 5th century before Christ where cynicism had ruled the day. And I want to talk about that development here this morning. You see, in the very beginning, God's people, many of God's people, held on to the belief that they were God's treasured possession. But then you see little bits of skepticism crept in. The northern kingdom, Samaria, the northern kingdom, was destroyed by the Assyrians. They were a ruthless people, and they dragged the people off and deported them and took them away. And when that happened, that caused some deep feelings of skepticism. This is the background of books like Nahum and Jonah in the Old Testament. But you see, with the skepticism, there was still a belief and trust that God was good and that God would still view them as the treasured possession. But then you see that skepticism developed into something more. Deep doubts. And around the 6th century before Christ, something else happened. The Babylonians came. And they came and destroyed Jerusalem, and the city lay in rubble, and they destroyed the farmland outside the city that had been cultivated for centuries. This is the time period, let's take a toll here, or take a look here. This is the time period of Jeremiah, the prophet. And in his writings, you get a sense of a little bit of deep doubt. Now, there's still a connection here to God, that he's going to overcome things, and that the people are still the treasured possession of God. But it's a little bit deeper than the skepticism of a century before. But you see, those deep doubts then come to the point of Malachi. And cynicism sets in. Outright cynicism. Malachi is about 480 BC before Christ. This is the time period of the Persians. Israel is just a puppet kingdom. Not all that important. And what is it like to live around a bunch of cynics? Ask Malachi. It's in this book. It's not as if the people had little bits of skepticism or doubt. It's that they were scornful and they mocked God and mocked anyone who believed in God. This is Malachi, the people that he lived around. People were saying such things as this: Malachi, you read Moses? Moses is outdated. He's from 1,000 years ago. Come on, get with the times, Malachi. People are saying such things as this: you sacrifice doves and pigeons? Come on, Malachi, that's ridiculous. Can't you come up with a better reason to use the pigeons and doves in your backyard? That's ridiculous. Malachi chapter 3, verse 14 says that the people around him even said it's a waste of time to even serve the Lord. At the heart of this cynicism was this thought: if God is a God of justice, why have all these things happened? The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians. If God says that he will vindicate the oppressed, heal those who are hurt, and destroy the enemies, why hasn't he done it? Again, it's not that they didn't believe. That's not the issue of Malachi. That's other books of the Bible. The issue is there's outright scorn and mocking of God and of those who believe in God. If there's anyone who were to have a blue Christmas, it's Malachi. What role does cynicism have in our culture and community today? I'd say quite a bit. That person that speaks the loudest to us in our culture, perhaps this time of year, is the Grinch. Think of some of the cynical statements that the Grinch makes. When he's looking at his dog in his cave, he does say that, "Hey, Max, why do we even leave this place? I've got all the company that I need in my life right here," the Grinch says. And when he looks at his plans for evening dinner, he says, "6:30 dinner with me? I can't change that appointment." And when the Grinch looks down on the Who's down in Whoville, he says, "Christmas. Blast this Christmas. It's joyful and triumphant." He's cynical. That voice of the Grinch jumps from the pages of the book and from the movies and speaks to us. When we go to the grocery store and someone donates money, that voice says, "You're going to give to that agency? It probably doesn't go to anyone that it promises to go to." That voice jumps and goes into our schools. "Oh, that teacher? Oh, that class is boring. You're never going to learn anything in that class." That voice jumps into our homes. "My husband? Oh, he's never going to change. He's probably going to get me the same thing he got last Christmas." That voice jumps into the community. "The mayor? Oh, the decision he made last year." That voice jumps into the church. "Oh, that person, they go to church? They really don't believe. I've heard about their background." That voice speaks loudly about the faith of Jesus. "Jesus? It's a myth. It's a legend." And slowly but surely, you see that cynical voice, if we listen to all those voices coming at us, the cynical voices, They develop inside of our own heart and our own rhythms of life. And we can take on the voice of the Grinch about our country, about our faith, about our spouse, and cynicism wins. And when that happens, devotion decreases, zeal is zapped, our passion goes down, and our generosity stops to flow. Surrounded by cynics, Malachi never became one. He's a beautiful picture and someone to follow in the season of Advent. Why didn't he follow the cynical voices? I think there's one clear reason. If you read the book, Malachi zoned in on one voice alone, zoned out all the other voices. Kind of like a sheep out on the pasture that knows its shepherd's voice and tunes its ear and knows that the timbre and the pitch of that voice. Kind of like a child that's lost in the grocery store and takes all the sounds out of the grocery store and listens for its parent's voice when it calls out to him or her. God speaks to Malachi. God says this in chapters 1, 2, and 3. You are my treasured possession, Malachi. And then he goes on to our text here, and this is how he relates what he's going to do. And this is the end of the Old Testament. God says, there will be a day when the evildoers become no more, and there will be a day when I rise up a son of righteousness who will be for my treasured possession. Now, Malachi, I'm going to do these things not because you're special or because the people are special by any means. No, and I'm not going to do this because you've cleaned your act up more than any other people on earth. See, this voice that speaks to Malachi says just simply this: I love you, and you are my treasured possession. And Malachi tuned his ears to that voice and tuned out the cynics around him. What a beautiful picture for us today. This voice, friends, speaks to you this Christmas. This voice says, here is my son, my beloved son. I love him and I'm giving to you. Live in his love. We don't have to answer the cynics. Let Jesus answer the cynics. To those who say there's no joy in life, Jesus says, come by me and you will have an abundant life. To those who say that there's no life after death, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you can live in me. To those who say there's no purpose in life, Jesus says, follow me, I am the truth, I'll give you a purpose in life. To those who say there's no justice in life, Jesus says, the day is coming when I will right all wrongs and make everything right. And here's the beautiful truth. You don't have to fake your way through Christmas thinking, I've got to manufacture warm feelings in my heart. Christmas is about tuning to the voice that says, you are my treasured possession. I love you. You don't have to think positively to get through Christmas. You don't have to manufacture feelings to fake it all the way through the holidays. See, Christmas, whether you're having a blue Christmas or a merry Christmas and a warm Christmas, it's really not about either one. It's really about tuning to the voice and realizing that we were loved so much that God gave us his son, Jesus. Cynicism's winning in our country, in our community, in our churches. It's winning. We see it. Cynicism doesn't happen overnight. It develops slowly. It starts with skepticism. It goes deeper with deeper doubts, and then all of a sudden people become really cynical about all sorts of things. And when that happens, it's dangerous. Our zeal is zapped and our passion goes down. But friends, faith is a powerful thing because faith does the opposite thing. It develops over time and blossoms into a beautiful flower in which our devotion doubles, our generosity flows, and our zeal increases. So whether we have a blue Christmas or a warm and joyful Christmas, it's really about tuning our ears to the voice that speaks to us and treasuring and living and hearing that voice as often as we can in the songs that we sing, in the words that we share. God views you as his treasured possession, and this is why he's giving us his son. Let us rest this Christmas in that beautiful gift. Amen. Let's pray about that here this morning. Dear Lord, we do want a warm and joy-filled Christmas for each person here at our church, but Lord, take us deeper than that. Take us to the point where we can tune into your voice above all the clatter, above all the cynics that are out there, so that we can know we are deeply loved by you and that we are your treasured possession. May that be the gift this Christmas from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.